Well, this morning we're beginning a brand new series called Sticks and Stones. And I walked in here this morning and I had my stick with me, and behind me you can see more sticks and you can see more stones. And it's amazing to me what things that you guys say to me off the bat on Sunday morning. Lots of funny stuff. For instance, someone noticed that the bulletin's a little bit smaller, and they ask if maybe we were struggling with the budget and we had to downsize a little bit. That was kind of funny. And then I walked in with this and somebody said, "That stick's not big enough." They don't even know what I'm using it for, and in their minds, it's not big enough. But you've heard the phrase, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but what? Words will never hurt me. I got one word for you. Bull. Words have power, don't they? In fact, you wondered what one word I was going to give to you in just that moment, right? Some of you are very, very thankful that I stopped short, right? Woo! Words. They're powerful. Some of us this week have experienced the impact of words. Maybe they built us up. Maybe they tore us down. Some of us from 20 years ago are still experiencing the power of words that were spoken to us or over us or at us or about us. Again, those words may have built you up and helped you to become everything that you are today. And for some of you, those words have kept you from becoming who God designed for you to be, because they still scar your soul. Words. Well, let me give you some numbers on the screen. The first number is 16,000. Some research has been done, and this is a number that one research group came up with. 16,000 is the average amount of words that the average person says on any average day. 16,000. Now, let me give you two more numbers, all right? It is suggested that women speak 20,000 words today, and men speak somewhere around 7,000 words a day. I'm not going to argue with that. I'm going to let you as husbands and wives go home and have that discussion. So somewhere in there, we get these numbers. The next number is the one we're going to go with. We're going to go with 10,000. Man, woman, doesn't make any difference. Let's say you and I speak approximately, on average, 10,000 words a day. Well, if you and I speak, on average, 10,000 words a day, in any given year, we have spoken enough words to create 73 books of 200 words, of 200 pages. 200 pages, excuse me, of 200 pages. 73 books, 200 pages long, every year uttered by me, every year uttered by you. What do those books have to say about me? What do those books have to say about you? Well, the Word of God says those books have a lot to say about me, and those books have a lot to say about you. Before we turn to where we're really going to look this morning, I want to give you one verse of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. Before we read it, I want to say that this is very scary for me to talk about words. Do you realize I talk for a living? And I'm about to talk about talking. Now, here's one thing I know. I know that people listen to me. You know how I know people listen to me? Because every single time that I say something that is wrong, you let me know. You do. You let me know. Which I try to use as encouragement to believe that you hear what I say when I say it right. Because I hear much more about what I say wrong than what I say right. And wouldn't you agree that's true in your life? People respond more to you when you say something wrong or that is unfitting than when you say something that is appropriate and or right. It's the reason why when I'm talking and when I'm having a conversation with you, really kind of a one-way conversation, on Sunday mornings, it's the reason why when I say something good, when I say something right, I like for you to grunt just a little bit. I like for you to just a little bit. I like for you to amen just a little bit. I like for you to celebrate it if it's good enough. Not me, but the truth that is being spoken. It's the reason why I speak to my kids. I want them to respond to me. They get tired of me saying, all right, I told you something. What did I tell you? Huh? Yeah, exactly. I make them repeat it back to me. I tell them what to do. I expect the response of these two words. Yes, sir. It lets me know that you heard me, right? Words. Oh, some mamas and daddies are getting excited. Preach, Pastor, preach, right? Wonder if we told God, yes, sir, every time he spoke to us, if he'd be a little happier too. Uh-oh! Words are powerful, aren't they? They are. And speaking of 10,000 words per day, I'm probably up to about half of my quota right now. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. Check it out. This kind of sets the tone for what we're going to talk about over the next 3 weeks. Don't repay evil for evil. Well, that seems backwards in and of itself, doesn't it? You got me, I'll get you. Scripture declares, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Notice he doesn't say, you may or may not have some evil happen to you in your life. He says, it's going to happen, and when it happens, don't repay it with evil. He doesn't say, it may or may not happen that you're going to be insulted in life, but when it happens, don't give an insult in return. And I don't know about you, but I'm quick on the draw. Anybody else? I mean, I am quick on the draw. I can put it out there back to you just as quick as you can give it to me. And yet Scripture declares I'm not supposed to do that. He goes on to say, instead, pay them back with a what? Blessing. We so thought that word ought to be cursing right there, right? And yet God declares that my calling and your calling is to give blessing to everybody, not just those that deserve it, not just those that give us a blessing, but even to those that give us insults and do evil unto us. That is what God, here's what it says, that is what God has called you to do. This is not what I'm calling you to do. This is not what the church is calling you to do. It's a higher calling than that. This is the calling that God has put on my life. This is the calling that God has put on your life. That when people do evil to me, I don't give them evil back. When people insult me, I don't insult them back. But instead, I give them blessing. I speak blessing over them, and I do bless things to them. Here's what it says. That is what God called you to do, and he will bless you for it. I don't know about you, but I kind of like the idea of having the blessing of God upon my life. I like the idea of it. I like the reality of it. And he says, if you want to really experience this, don't give evil for evil. Don't give insult for insult. Instead, give blessing. And when you do, you're carrying out your calling, and he will bless you for it. That's the calling that God has put on my life, that God has put on your life, and how we are to use our words and how we are supposed to react to others. Well, we're going to dig into Matthew chapter 12. Go ahead and turn over there. It's going to be on the screen for you in just a moment. Matthew chapter 12. We're going to begin reading in verse number 33. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 33. This is one of those series that could be called an elbow series. In other words, I'm going to say things, and we're going to read things, and you are going to be tempted to go like this. I want you to refrain from doing that. The only person I'm giving permission to elbow anyone during the series is the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, wives, trust that the Holy Spirit will elbow your husband when he needs it. Husbands, trust that the Holy Spirit is going to elbow your wife when she needs it. All right? Trust that. Resist that. Okay. Y'all want to practice? Just sit there. All right? Some of you want to elbow me right now, don't you? All right. What we're about to get into is going to be really interesting, especially the passage we're going to look at today. I'm going to say that even though it's going to be a hard saying, I believe it's also going to be very practical in nature as well. If you read the Gospels and you read the stories of Jesus and his teachings, and if you've read any of them at all, I think you would quickly agree that there are a lot of teachings of Jesus that are just, they're hard sayings. They're hard to accept. They're hard to understand. And even more so, I think we would say that they're hard to live out. A lot of his sayings are very challenging. I think we would even maybe go so far as to say a lot of the teachings of Jesus, and I'm a pastor and I'm going to say this, I think a lot of the teachings of Jesus sometimes are even confusing. Even confusing. And so Jesus, I think, is incredibly wise. I think he's all wise. And I think that Jesus didn't use his words accidentally, as you and I do so many times. I think he was always intentional. I think Jesus knew when he spoke whether or not he was going to cause us to struggle with an idea. I think when he spoke, he knew whether or not we were going to be challenged or not. I think he knew when he spoke as to whether or not we were going to be confused with an idea or not. So if you get confused with the teachings of Jesus, just know it's Jesus actually being intentional with his words. I think Jesus wants us to wrestle with his words. I think he wants us to step back sometimes and say, I don't know if I just read what I read. I don't know if I saw what I just saw. I don't know if I just heard what I heard. And what we're about to read this morning, I think, is one of those. Because really, if you just kind of take a quick snapshot of it, and you just kind of look at it, and you read it, and boom, you move on, you might say to yourself, that almost sounds like it contradicts some of the other teachings of Jesus. So this is one we got to wrestle with. This is one we got to really lean into, and I'm going to try to do it quickly and try to help us to unpack the truths that Jesus has packed into these words. So Jesus is going to say some huge things about our words. He used a lot of parables, and the first couple of verses that we're going to read here, I believe, are Jesus giving us a parable and then unpacking it for us. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 33. A tree, so you're imagining this tree now, okay? A tree is identified by its what? Its fruit. We do have the right scripture on the screen today, right? All right, good. If you weren't here last week, all of us missed it. All right. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be what? Good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be what? Bad. So if a tree is good, its fruit will be good. And if a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. So Jesus is offering up this teaching, this parable. We're going to see this idea of the tree. We're going to see this idea of the fruit. You can't take this parable and apply what is the tree and what is the fruit to every other teaching of Scripture. Okay? So we're going to unpack what the tree is and what the fruit is. If you read another passage of Scripture about trees and fruit, we may not be talking about the same thing, okay? In this particular Scripture, in this particular teaching, in this parable, he's talking about a tree and he's talking about a fruit. And as we continue to read, he's going to begin to help us to understand what we're reading. Verse 33. Again, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. Now, Jesus didn't just pop up one day and say this. Okay? This is the midst of a very long day of a lot of interaction with a lot of different people. It all began by Jesus hanging out with his disciples on the Sabbath day. Really quick, if you don't know anything about the Old Testament and the rules that are there, Old Testament rules say that you can't work on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was the day set aside, it would have been a Saturday, to worship God, and you weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath day. And it began with Jesus hanging out with his disciples. They were hungry, they were passing by a field, and so they picked some food to eat, and they ate it. The religious leaders of the day, the rule makers, those that enforced the rules, those that I would call not merely religious, but rule-ligious, came along and said, hey, you can't do that. It's a Sabbath day. So this is where this dialogue begins. Jesus takes it a step further, knowing who's watching him. And he decides to heal a man on the Sabbath day. Well, man, this just totally caused these religious guys to blow up. How dare he do something like good and heal somebody on the Sabbath day? So Jesus found this man. He had a withered hand, and Jesus made it whole again. And Scripture goes on to say he ended up hanging out with a bunch of other people, and he healed a lot of people. We don't know what all he did, but he healed a lot of people of a lot of things on that day. And so the religious leaders were just up in arms. They were just going nuts over this. You see, here's the deal. These rule makers were so obsessed with the rules that they didn't know that they were hanging out with the ruler. Do you see what just happened there? Do you see what just happened there? They missed it completely. And let me just tell you, as a religious organ in a church setting, gathered as what most would consider as a religious organization, let me tell you something. If you get consumed with religion, you will miss what God has for you fully and completely. Because religion is not focused on a Savior whose name is Jesus. Religion is focused on a set of rules that many and most times are made up by rule makers, also known as men. Oh, if there's anybody in this room that are in the same camp as these Pharisees, these rule makers, and you are so consumed potentially with the rules that you miss the ruler, I'm telling you, you are missing everything. Because one of these days, these guys that Jesus is having this interaction with that were consumed with the rules but rejected the ruler did one day stand before the maker of all, and they said, look at all these rules that we kept. And let me tell you what God said. God said, I don't care. You rejected my son whose name is Jesus. All of that rule keeping was good for nothing. Well, wait a minute. I thought we wanted people to be good people. We do. We do. But the way Jesus changes me and the way Jesus changes you into being good people is not by focusing in on your fruit, but by focusing in on your tree. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, tree, fruit. Tree is your heart. Okay? The fruit, your words. Tree is our heart, our soul, our being. Fruit, our words. These guys were a lot like you and I. They were very, very sharp. They were good with their words. They could say what they need to say, when they need to say it, where they need to say it, to whom they need to say it to make themselves look really, really good. Anybody else good at that? Really, really good at that. They were good at it. They were great at it. They could make people think and believe whatever they wanted to about them. They used the words to make people think, ooh, they're really close to God. And yet that there they were talking to God in the flesh. It's just amazing how they completely miss it. And you know what they end up saying to Jesus? If you go back and read in Matthew chapter 12, you know what they say to Jesus? Hey, Jesus, we know you healed that dude, but let us tell you who you really are. You're not good. You're not holy. Oh, yeah, we've heard your teachings. And oh, yes, we've seen you make people better. But let me tell you, you're from Satan. That's exactly what they accused Jesus. They said, you are from Satan. What? So if Jesus seems a little fired up in what he's saying here, that's why. They just said, hey, Jesus, you're from Satan. I'm not Jesus, but if you tell me I'm from Satan, I'm going to get fired up too, right? Can you imagine being Jesus and somebody saying, hey, we saw you heal people, we saw you teach good things, we saw you love people and care for people, and we just want you to know we think you're from Satan. So Jesus says, You got a tree and you got its fruit. A good tree is going to be known by good fruit. A bad tree is going to be known by bad fruit. Your heart is your tree and your words are your fruit. And he said, listen, you just exposed yourself. You've just exposed yourself with your words. You've just called me Satan. You've just opposed and postured yourself against me by saying that we don't think that you, Jesus, are the work of God. They said, we don't believe that the Holy Spirit is at work here. We think an evil spirit is at work here. He says, you've exposed yourself with your words. Trees are revealed by their fruit. Good trees produce good fruit. Bad trees produce bad fruit. These rule makers, they were consumed with behavior modification. It was their gospel. It was what they taught. It's what they preached. It's what they declared. Behavior modification. Let's make everybody better. It's what you and I are trying to do with our children. Right? Behavior modification. It has its place. It has its spot. But listen, in this whole thing called the world, mankind, God, our relationship with Him, behavior modification does absolutely no good whatsoever. It just doesn't. It's a false gospel. It's what they preached. It was moralistic preaching, if you will. Sin management. Make sure that everybody sees you do good and make sure they don't see you do bad. Make sure they hear you say good things. Don't let them hear you say bad things. And as long as people see good things and hear good things, they'll think you're good and you and God will be good. And Jesus says, that's not who I am. That's not Jesus. That is not Jesus. That is not Jesus. And that is not Christianity. The Christianity that we adhere to is that we have a Savior who was perfect and His name was Jesus. And we are imperfect and we are full of sin and our words reveal who we are. And it is not pretty. And the only hope that we have is that perfect one whose name is Jesus. Amen? That's our hope. That's our Savior. That's who we depend upon. That's how we are right. That's why we're here this morning. We didn't show up this morning to say, ooh, look how good I am. I went to church this morning. Some of you did show up to impress Mama this morning. I get it. Some of you came because your wife expected you to. I get it. Some of you came because your parents expected you to. I get it. Some of you came to kind of like do what was best for your children. I get it. But here, I'm just telling you, the real reason why we are here and the real reason why we should be here is because Jesus and Jesus alone is our Savior, and we want to sing and use our words and our lives to glorify His holy name. Listen, if that's why you came, I guarantee you, you couldn't help it. Even if you're like me and you can't sing, you sung this morning and you had to use your words to express your heart because the blood of Jesus has been applied. Okay? Now, if you came here this morning and you're like, I'm going to impress Kyle by showing up this morning, I'm going to make sure and shake his hand to know that I'm here. And I love interaction. I'm not saying don't interact with him. But if you showed up to impress me or impress anybody else, you missed it. You wasted this opportunity. You wasted it. This is an opportunity for sin. Whoo, God, you're it, I'm not. I break the rules all the time, but you are the ruler and you are the one that can forgive me. I'm going to worship you. See, Jesus is always, always, always way more concerned with who we are than what we do. I told you I had some hard sayings this morning. Because some of you are like, wait a minute. It doesn't matter what I do. I didn't say it doesn't matter what you do. I said Jesus is way more concerned with who you are than what you do. And what Jesus knows is that if He can change who you are, what you do will change as well. What Jesus knows is that if your words are bad, then your heart is bad. And Jesus is not focusing on changing your words right now in this moment. He is elbowing you with the Holy Spirit, and He's wanting to change your heart. And I'm here to tell you, as I've been preparing for this and as I'm preaching it right now, no more elbows of the Holy Spirit are flying any other direction than right here. He wants to change my heart. He wants to make me to become everything that He has got for me. Jesus and His love for people, that's what moved Him. That's the reason why on the Sabbath day He healed a man with a withered hand. He healed a bunch of other people. He healed another man by casting out demons that had controlled the man. The these guys, these Pharisees, these religious guys, these religious guys, in this moment, they were completely rejecting Jesus. Can you imagine taking your hands and saying, Jesus, I don't want you. Jesus, I don't believe in you. Jesus, I don't believe you are who you say you are. I think you're from Satan. That's where they were at. And yet Jesus came to save those very ones, save them from their sin, save us from our sin. Verse 34. Jesus decides to get on the campaign trail. And so he starts verse 34 by saying, you brood of snakes. He just got a bunch of people to vote for him, didn't he? He's talking to a group of religious leaders, and he chooses to call them a brood of snakes. I think Jesus knows my heart and my disdain for snakes. And I don't know about you, but like, I hate snakes. And so I get what Jesus is, he's going for it here. Like, you brood of snakes. Jesus knew that he was describing these guys in every kind of way. They were slick and they were slithery and they were sneaky. He also knew that when their mouths opened, venom flew. He calls them, you brood of snakes. How could evil men like you, in case he wasn't clear the first time, I'm calling you evil. How can evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. According to verse number 34, where do my words come from and where do your words come from? Our heart. Scripture teaches that out of the mouth we reveal our hearts. I'm just going to predict I'm going long this morning, all right? Y'all okay with that? All right. At baseball practice, I tell them an hour and a half and we're done. If we're not done, you can leave. Not true today. All right. Our words, one guy gets up and leaves. Our words reveal our hearts. Can you imagine walking by an orange tree, some really nice oranges on there, and you say, hey, orange tree, nice oranges. And the orange tree saying back to you, which I know it's going to take some imagination for you to think about it. And the orange tree says back to you, oh, no, I'm not an orange tree. I'm an apple tree. What do you say back to the orange tree at that moment? You're crazy? You've lost it? Everything up here is gone for you? You don't get it? You don't see it? No, orange trees produce what? Oranges. Apple trees produce what? Our hearts produce what? They produce who we are. Funny people say funny things. Passionate people say passionate things. Lustful people say lustful things. Nasty people say nasty things. Dishonest people say dishonest things. Shady people say shady things. Godly people say godly things. Encouraging people say encouraging things. So Jesus does what he does. He focuses on the heart. He focuses on who you are. Verse 35. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. Let me just go ahead and throw this out there. If your heart has been changed, your words will change. Let's say that again. If your heart has been changed, your words will change. Listen, if you got a good heart, he said, good things are going to flow out. If you got a bad heart, bad things are going to flow out. I would think that if your ears are open at all, that you're doing what I'm doing right now, and you're considering your words. You're considering what you've been saying. You're considering how you've been saying it. And I think that if you're like me, you're kind of overwhelmed a little bit at what it reveals about ourselves. Well, I hear things like this. Okay, again, we just read verse 35 with that in mind. I hear people say things like, yeah, I say a lot of stuff, but, you know, I'm a good person. Is that what that scripture says? How about this one? They sound mean, but they have a good heart. Like, if you sounded mean, then I'm thinking it's because you're mean. Verse 35, a good person, is that what we're reading? My language is foul, but my heart is clean. What? Yeah, I say I hate JoJo during the week, but I show up on Sunday and oh, how I love Jesus. What? I talk about people during the week. I do. But Jesus is my Lord. I told you what we're reading today. It's a hard saying. It's a hard saying. I kind of thought, we were talking as pastors, getting ready for these two series, the one we just finished up, Making Change, the one we're getting into, Sticks and Stones. And I really thought, man, the Making Change is going to be just hard, man. We're talking about money. Some of you are like, whoo, we're done with that one, right? But now we've moved on to this one, and I don't know about you, but I'm kind of like already deciding that we have moved into the harder arena here than with the money for the last 3 weeks. In fact, let me give you a choice, okay? Let me give you a choice. The choice between writing a big check to the church or changing the way you use your words for the rest of your life. Which one sounds easier to you? You with me? Well, that's just the way I am. I know. Me too. You know what that reveals? God's got some work to do in me, and God's got some work to do in you. God's got some work to do in us. Amen? Amen. And if we're claiming the name of Jesus, okay? If we're claiming the name of Jesus, if you're showing up to this place and you tell people you go to this place and you're telling people that you believe in Jesus, let's talk to all of us first. For those of you that just come every now and then and you're like, I really don't go and I really don't believe, you're off the hook on this one for just a minute, all right? For those of you that say you're in and we show up and we tell everybody else we're in and oh, how we love Jesus, oh my, how we need to allow our hearts to be changed so that our mouths reveal Jesus in our lives. Yeah, you can clap for that. Amen. Amen. You want to do some harm for Jesus? Come here, say you believe what we believe here. Go out there and talk the way that so many other people are talking and maybe the way you've been talking. And let me tell you, it will destroy everything we're trying to accomplish here for God's glory. Hypocrisy to its core. Saying one thing here, saying another thing somewhere else. Well, I don't do anything bad. Well, are you saying anything bad? Jesus says it reveals your heart. And he's worried about who you are. He wants to change who you are. He wants to change who I am. Verse 36 and verse 37, it doesn't get any easier. Y'all thought these were going to be the two verses where things kind of lightened up just a little bit, right? And Jesus said, woohoo, everything's going to be okay. Well, verse 36. And I, not me, not Kyle, Jesus, and I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. Books a year. How many you got going so far? Scripture says they're going to be opened up. And you're going to be judged according to the words that you say, including the idle words that you say. You know what he's saying? Small talk counts. Those conversations that you have before meetings, they count. Those conversations you have after meetings, they count. Those conversations you have on the plane ride, they count. Those conversations you have about the weather, they count. Those conversations you have about sports, they count. Those conversations you have about your hobbies, they count. They all count. Idle words ultimately means words that accomplish nothing. How often are our mouths open and we are accomplishing nothing? And yet he has given us a mission. He has given us a purpose. He has given us a calling. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, part of that calling is for us to give a blessing. That's our calling. And that's our purpose. me ask you a question. May I speak freely? Thank you for being so kind, but at least one or two of you that I heard answer were wrong. The answer is no. You probably said yes because you were kind enough to feel like you could trust me. But the answer is, in this moment right here, I can't speak freely. You know why I can't speak freely? Because if I speak freely, I'm going to tell you everything that I'm thinking. Let's be real. You don't want to know everything that I'm thinking. Just like in this moment, I really don't want you to speak freely either. You see what I'm saying? It was kind of a trick question. Well, I thought it, so I said it. It's not always a good idea. It's just not always a good idea. Husbands, not always a good idea. And I've struggled this week. I've blown it with my wife this week. Words I said, words I shouldn't have said, words I didn't say, how I said my words. Anybody else in here capable, like I am, of saying thank you and it being a zinger? I'm good at it. I'm good at it. I'm good at saying you're welcome and sticking it to you. That is not a gift. It is not a gift. I don't know if we got to verse number 37. I don't think we did. Check it out. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Our words reveal who we are. Our words will not go unnoticed by the ruler. Jesus, according to this, will one day judge us according to our words. Now, if there's one thing that I believe we don't need today, excuse me, or any other day, is moralistic preaching. I don't want to, nor am I called to guilt you into doing better. But what I am called to do is to speak the glorious, powerful, unmatched name of Jesus that can reach into the depths of my being, as well as reach in the depths of your being, touch your heart, cause your tree to be completely different so that it can produce different fruit for His honor and for His glory. If you take the idea of the religious people, you're going to focus on your sin all of the time to get rid of your sin. You don't get rid of sin by focusing on your sin. You get rid of sin by focusing on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one that paid for our sin. Even all of the mean, ugly, contentious, cutting, sharp, ungrateful words that we've spoken. When Jesus died on the cross, He died for every ungodly, unkind, improper word you ever spoke. And I don't know about you, but that makes me want to sing, that makes me want to praise, that makes me want to shout, that gives me hope. Because if it's me and I and trying to do everything I need to do and say it all right and say it all together, and I'm going to miss it. No hope for me. But Jesus says, I came. And my blood can cover all of that. All the 73 books per year that you and I produce, He says that you can have it covered and have it cleansed. The one who can make whole the withered hand. The one who can cast out demons. The one is the same that can tame our tongue. The one who can change our hearts. Jesus came and He died for all the careless words that we've spoken. Through His death, through His burial, and through His resurrection, we have the power to change what we say because He has the power to change our hearts. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. Going to come on the screen for you. Check out the power of words. If you confess with your what? Sounds like we're talking to me. Does that sound like we're talking? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved, rescued, brought out of the stuckness and the damnation and the condemnation of your sin. Rescued, brought out. I don't know about you, but a long time ago, I decided with my mouth to confess that Jesus was Lord and to believe in my heart that God had raised him from the dead. And you know what he did? He saved me. It's the reason why I don't understand why we come in this place. We don't use our words to the top of our lungs to praise Jesus. You're like, Pastor, are you saying we ought to sing a little bit more at church? Yes, I am. Like, here we are. Don't let church go down in judgment day as idle words for you. Well, I thought that would be Saturday when I was talking about the game. Could it be Sunday when we just go through the motions? Don't miss this. Here in a moment, we're about to do what we do most Sundays. We're about to sing a song. It's going to be an opportunity for you to respond to Jesus. Don't waste this moment. Jesus needs to change my heart, needs to change your heart. And you're probably thinking what I'm thinking. There's some people that should have been here today that needed to hear this. Right? I mean, I'm looking around. I told you, I got to be careful about speaking freely. Some of you are like, I can't believe that he went fishing today. Of all days, he needed to be here. Can't believe baseball has already kicked up. This moment, Holy Spirit, his elbow, our hearts. Let's let him do what he wants to do.